We're holding the top of Samach Vav Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Poschim Yom Tovim V'Shabbosos. So another thing that you can use for a Pesach, come sit over here. Come sit over here. You can use as a Pesach, the fact that Shabbos or Yom Tov is involved. Which means, for example, a person made a neder, let's say, that he's going to, that he's not going to eat meat for a certain period of time. You can point out to him, the Chacham can point out to him, did you realize that that's going to interfere with your enjoyment of Shabbos, that it's going to be tzar on Shabbos? Actually, Tosfos in the Masechta discusses earlier, are we talking about when he just made a neder for a short amount of time, where maybe, you know, there might have been a Yom Tov or a Shabbos in it, maybe not, or are we talking about even he made a neder, let's say, for a whole year? I mean, it's very obvious, everybody knows, that a year is going to contain Shabbos. But Rishonu Hayoyim, remember originally the Chachamim used to say, Oyfen Hayomim Mutarim, so fine, suppose they're Matir Neder on that basis, they tell him, did you realize that's going to involve Tzar on Shabbos? So fine, on Shabbos he'll be allowed to eat meat, let's say, or Shabbos Hayomim Masurim, but all the rest of the days will be also, because he didn't have a Pesach for those. Ad Shabbat Rav Akiva Volimit, and so Rav Akiva came and taught that the Halacha is Shan Neder, Shehutu Mikloloi Hutur Kuloi, that a Neder that's partially cancelled is completely cancelled. So therefore, if they were able to matter, it could be matter him Shabbos or Yom Tov, then automatically the rest of the neder falls away also. The Ran brings over here. The Ran quotes from the Yerushalmi that we learned from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Kichol hayotzim apiv yaseh," which is according to all that comes out of his mouth, he shall do. So only if it falls. So only if it falls. If any of it is missing, if any of it was mutter, then the whole rest of it falls away. There is, by the way, a machlokas we're showing him whether that applies. Well, usually kol means, okay. But there is a machloek that's Rishonim, by the way, on the topic. Does this only apply when you're using a Pesach, which is what the subject of our Mishnah is, or does it also apply when you're being matir neder based on charata? So remember, we're talking about a neder over here. I mean, a shvur is on the person. It's not really, you know, that's a different kind of thing. But so Pesach is what we're talking about over here, that the Chacham points out to him like a side effect of it that he didn't realize. He didn't realize at the time he made the neder that it's going to cause him difficulty on Shabbos, or it's going to cause him to have to pay his wife's sugar or whatever, all the various things, as opposed to Charata, where he regrets ever having made the neder. In particular, the Ramban holds that this din in our Mishnah, that Hutu Mekfate, Hutu Kuloi, only applies when you're using a Pesach. It does not apply when you're using Charata. And actually, there's an interesting thing. The Chidah says, connected with this, Charata would just be the person regrets ever having made the neder. No specific Pesach, but just Bechlal, he regrets, he realizes he made it in anger, for example, and he never would have made the neder.
He regrets part of it.
But it doesn't have to be a Pesach as a specific cause of it that he regrets. A specific result of it, rather, that he regrets. Charata is just he regrets ever having made the neder in the first place. He realizes now, you know what, I made this neder when I was angry, I never would have made the neder if I was in a calm mood, for example. That's not a Pesach, that's charata. So actually, the Chidah mentions an interesting thing.
But he says why he was angry, because, let's say, his boss bothered him.
No, but that's still not a Pesach. Pesach is a side effect of the neder. I made this neder, I did not realize that that's going to prevent me from giving tzedakah to this person, or that's going to prevent me from enjoying Shabbos, or whatever. Charata is that he regrets ever having made the neder as a whole. The Pesach, in theory, the difference is the Pesach, in theory, if there weren't that side effect, he would say, fine, I'm still happy with the neder. If it were possible, that if, for example, if the neder didn't prevent me from giving tzedakah to this person, I would still very much want to keep this neder. It's just now, I realize you're pointing out to me that it's going to prevent me from giving tzedakah to him. Same with the other example. Charata is he regrets b'chalal having made the neder.
No specific reason.
Yeah.
No specific
consequence. Yeah. So the Chidah mentions an interesting thing based on this. In this week's parasha, we find at the beginning of the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu davens, where it's Hanan al-Hashem, Bo'isei Lemer, Hashem, atah hachiloi salaharis asavdecha, you've begun showing me your great hand. How? Because he saw the wars with Sichon and Oi. Achiloisa is also the Loshen Bo Yachal Dvara, like canceling a neder. Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, look, you already showed me Melchamas Sichon V'Oig, let me go through and be able to see the Melchamas Lamed Aleph Melochim. Uli also, in Parashas Pinchas, Rashi says, the vote is that Moshe thought, once he's able to go into Evar Yarden, which is eventually going to be occupied by Reuben and God and Chassi Menashe, he figured already, okay, the neder is canceled, maybe she tells him it's still in effect. So what happened? Moshe figured, based on our mission over here, so fine, if the Eved has canceled part of it and allowed him to go into the area of Reuben and God, then fine, the whole thing should be canceled and he should be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. The Eved tells him no. Why? Because, yes, that could work if you're asking me to be mapped to the Nether based on a Pesach. But a Pesach is not Shaiach to the Eivishter. Pesach is that you didn't realize at the time you made the Neder that there's going to be the side effect. Obviously, the Eivishter knows everything. There's no Pesach. There could be, in principle, the only thing that could be by the Eivishter, so to speak, is Charata. Okay, the Eivishter isn't really Lo Yishkel. You can't even Charata, but Charata, at least you can talk of, as we talk about Hashem in human terms. Like, when the person changes, then the Eivishter has Charata. Like by the Mabul, by Nocham Hashem, etc. So therefore, so the Eivishter is telling him, the Chidah says, No, by the Marvel, David just said, so to speak, I have Charata that I have created mankind. And therefore, let me destroy them. So here, the Chidah says, the Eved is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, sorry, I hold the Ramban. Neder Shurut Maktsat Tehut Kula doesn't apply in the case of Charata, only in the case of Pesach. Pesach is not Shayach to me. Therefore, yes, you may have been able to go into the land of Sichon and Og, the land of Reuben and Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, doesn't mean you can go any further. Case, the Mishnah says, how does this work? Suppose somebody says to a group of people, so when we talked about the other day about Moshe being master his neder, for example, that the Eivishter had to be master for him over there, but only with Yisrael's permission, as we learned. So, suppose somebody says a koinim that I won't have anah from all of you, meaning from any of you. So then if he's master one of them, then if he has a Pesach for one of them, then all of them become mutter. We learned actually earlier in the Masechta, a month and a half or so ago, we learned a machlokas amaroyim about this. What are we talking about? There's two possibilities. One is where he said, where Rabba had said if he says, Machatchila, if I had known, for example, that my father is in this group, then I would have said, all of you are also except for my father. So that's called Mamid. He says, I still would have used the same expression, Kulchem, but I would have specifically excluded my father. He would have specifically said.
Without my father.
Yeah. As opposed to, Rava says that, no, he said he's not Mamid, but Mashana. He says, if I had known that my father is here, for example, I would have specifically said, you, and you. Are also, but not, and thus excluding my father. So both of them have their ways of explaining the Mishnah over here that we're talking about, that when we say Huter Echad Man Huter Kulam, so according to the two possibilities, either it means that once we're Mater his father, all of them become Mutter, because he's saying at that point, I would have Lachatila said, all of you are also except for my father, and therefore once we have to accept his father, then everybody is goes away also. Or is it because he would have instead said, I would have said you, and you, and therefore his original letter completely falls away. What if he says specifically that I won't have enough from this person and this person? Then Huter Harishon. So if he gets the Hatara for the first one, Huter Kulan, then all of them become Mutter. Huter Achron. If he gets the Hatara for the last one, Achron Mutter V'Kulan Asurin. Only the last one is Mutter. All the rest of them are Asur. Huter Hamtzoi Hamenu L'Mata Mutter. Hamenu L'Mila Asur. If the middle, if one of the middle ones is Mutter, then the ones from him and below, then the ones below him are Mutter, and anything above him is Asur. We learned actually earlier in the Masechta, that in that same sugya, that the situation was, it's not that he said just I'm Osir Hana from Reuben and Shimon and Levi. Because then why, just because he was Matir Reuben, why should Shimon and Levi be Mutter? No, the case is he said I'm Osir Hana from Reuben, and Shimon is just like Reuben, and Levi is just like Shimon, and so forth. So each one depends on the previous one. So if he's Matir Reuben, for example, then there's nothing to compare Shimon to anymore, and so forth. How about Shani Nana Lazek Korban? What if he specifically says for each one, I'm also as a Korban, the thing is also to me Bahana from this person, and it's also to me as a Korban from this person. So you need an individual Pesach for each one, because as the Gemara is going to explain, this is according to Reb Shimon, who says that once you have a specific statement like that Korban for each one, then they're considered, there's no commonality between them. Being Master one isn't Master anything. So then you need a Pesach for, so then the Beis Din would have to tell him for each one specifically. Do you realize that with Reuben that's going to prevent you from giving him tzedakah? Do you realize with Shimon that's going to prevent you from doing something else? Whatever. Another example, koinim yayin shani toyim, sha yayin ralam ayim. What if somebody says, koinim, that I won't taste wine because wine is bad for your stomach? Omru loy v'alayim yushin yopin ma'ayim. People tell him, don't you realize that old wine is good for your stomach? So then he becomes mutter in old wine. Not just old wine, but all wine. Because there, it's again, it's an example of nedush, hutter, maksase, hutter, kule. Once he's mutter in the old wine, then he's mutter automatically, because he didn't specifically say, I'm also in old wine and new wine. Another example, koinam batzel shani toyim sha batzel rav alev. He says, koinam, that I won't taste onions, because onions are bad for your heart. Amr loy v'alay a kufri yop alev. Isn't a kufri onion good for your heart? I don't know. It depends what kind. But the kufri onions are good for your heart. We learned before when we learned this earlier in the Masechta in that same sugya, we learned there's a couple of different possibilities what kufri is. Either it's the name of a place, or it means onions from the villages or whatever. Yeah, a couple of possibilities anyway. Hutub kufri. So then he's mutter in the kufri. Actually, this isn't an example. By the way, this isn't really an example of hutub kufri hutub kulay. This is really something else. This is here you don't even need a pesach actually. Because it's basically a neder toast. When he made the neder, he didn't realize that there's some kinds of wine that are good for your stomach or some kinds of onions that are good for your heart. So therefore, it's considered a neder toast, and you don't even need a pesach for that. So hutter b'kufri, v'leib b'kufri b'vad, hutter b'chalav tzolim. Not only is he mutter in a kufri onion, he's mutter in all the other onions. Ma'isahoyevi tira meir b'chalav tzolim. And indeed, it once happened, there's an actual case like that, and Rameh was matter him to eat all kinds of onions. Gemara says, when we say hutra achron, achron mutter v'kol nasurin, we're not really focusing on that, we're really focusing on the next piece of Gemara, on the next piece of Mishnah, rather, that said that if you say, she'eni nena l'zeh korban, she'ani nena l'zeh korban, l'zeh korban, if you mention individually the word korban for each person, then we say you need a separate pesach for each one. Mantana, which tana is it that said that? Omer Rabbi Rav Shimon. That would be according to Rav Shimon. D'omer ad she'yem shvur l'chalach v'achon. He says in shvuas, that you have a similar concept over there with a shvua, that if he said, so you can have a case like this. You can have, for example, a person says a shvua that I don't owe Reuben, Zishimon, Zilevi. Or there can be a case where he doesn't say the vav. There's a shvua that I don't owe Reuben, Shimon, Levi. So the Mishnah and the Gemara discussed over there, does that mean then that if he owes any of them, it's a Shavuot Shavuot, would it have to be he owes all of them? And if it turns out, let's put it this way, if it turns out he owes all of them, is he chayav from multiple Shavuot or just for the one? So the Chachamim discussed over there that it depends whether he uses a Vav or not. And then Rav Shimon comes in and says that no, he will always be only chayav for the one Shavuot, regardless whether he used a Vav or not, unless he actually specified Shavuot that I don't know Reuben, Shavuot that I don't know Shimon, Shavuot that I don't know Levi. Specifically. Same idea over here, then he would say, so the Chachamim would argue that if he said, She'eni nen lozev, 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 then he'd be chayav on each one individually. But he'd be chayav malchus for each one individually, and therefore he could use, and therefore he'd need a pesach for each one individually. Rav Shimon would say no, only if he actually says korban for Reuben, korban for Shimon, korban for Levi. Okay. Koinim gayin shani toyim. We said in the Mishnah that if he says a koinim, then I won't taste wine, and I tell him there's a kind of wine that's good for you. The question is, I'm going to ask, what do you mean? What do they need to tell him it's good for you? But typically, it ain't ra. Who cares whether it's good for you, as long as it's not bad for you? So suppose you have. I mean, imagine they couldn't find any kind of wine that's good for your stomach, let's say. But they find a kind of wine that's not bad for your stomach. It's neutral. Wouldn't that be enough? He made the nether saying, I won't drink wine because it's bad for your stomach. Which implies that if you find any kind of wine which is not bad for your stomach, then that's already enough. Why do they doubt for me to mention to him that it's good?
It could mean also that he thinks that any wine is bad for your stomach.
No, but that's the thing. Instead of them pointing out to him, you should know old wine is good for your stomach, why do they have to go to that extreme? Let him just tell him, for example, it's enough if they tell him old wine is neutral for your stomach. It's not good and it's not bad. It doesn't hurt your stomach, but it's not necessarily. Yeah. That should be enough.
To cancel the whole
thing. Yes. Amar Rava va'od yafakatan. He said, Rav Abba says, you're right. What they're telling him is actually two things. Number one, they tell him it's not bad for you, so that alone is reason enough to cancel the nether, because the nether toast. Number two, by the way, you should know, it's not only that it's not bad, it's even good. But you're right, they don't have to mention that it's good in order for it to be a nether toast. Just that it's not bad. Same thing, koinim batzel shani toyim shabbatzel, the whole of it typically day in ra, amar abba v'od yofakatani, same idea, that they don't have to tell him specifically that there's a kind of onions that are good for your heart, just that there's a kind of onions that are neutral for your heart, yeah. Mishnah says, poschim la'odim b'chvoid atzmo v'chvoid bono. Another thing you can use as a Pesach for a person is you can use his own covered and the covered of his children. Namely, you tell him like this. Suppose, for example, that he made a neder that eventually is going to involve that he's going to have to divorce his wife. He made a neder, for example, that he's not going to have anah from her, or she's not going to have anah from him, whatever, which is eventually going to lead to divorce, like we learned in yesterday's Mishnah. So we can use the Pesach like this. Ilu ha-yisi adea, shalomach oimrim lacha, did you realize that eventually people are going to say about you, kachi vesta shaplani, this is the habit to vest, a vest, we learned it in Hilchos Nidya, means like it literally means like a normal habit. Vest is called that, the normal habit that a woman has a period after a certain period of time. So we use the word vest has a more general meaning to mean a person's habit, a person's way of doing things. So did you realize that it's a regular thing, it's a regular habit of this person, mitarashas nashav, that he divorces his wife? And number one, it's going to make you look bad. Now, again, you know, we've learned previously in the Perek that we can't use kvod hamakom because the person is not going to have the chutzpah to say, yes, I would have done it knowing that it would impinge on the Eivishter's covered. We said also with kvod avivimei, that was the machlokes of Eliezer and the Chachamim. But kvod atzmei was saying over here, everybody agrees, yes, the person might be self-conscious enough to say, you know what, I don't care about my own covered. So therefore, if he does say, you know what, I do care, then we can take him at his word. And then use that as a Pesach. And also they tell him, Va'al b'nei secho, your oimim b'nei segurusha sein, also look at if your daughters, they're going to say they're daughters of a divorcee, and they're going to say, nu, ma rasa, even shalelu leis garish, nu, what happened to these girls' mother that she got divorced. In other words, people are going to think. Either people are going to think that the wife must have been committing znus or something, and therefore maybe the children aren't kosher children. Or they're going to think, you know, like mother, like daughter. If the mother is a no good nick so much that her husband had to divorce her, then the daughters are likely to be like that also. People are likely to talk like that.
But a person may not realize
these consequences. He made a neder that my wife won't have enough of me. He doesn't realize that this is going to lead to that then she's going to have grounds for divorce and then yeah. But Omar, so now if he says, Ilu ha-yisi adeh she-kein lo ha-yisi neder, you're right, if I'd known that I wouldn't have made the neder, ha-reza mutter, good, then the neder is mutter. Another example, which we learned yesterday, koinem shani noses plenis ka'ura. If somebody says a koinem that I won't marry such and such a girl who's ugly, bahareina, and it turns out that she's actually beautiful, shchoira, she's dark, bahare levana, and it turns out she's pale, ktsara, bahare aruka, short, and it turns out the short one, and it turns out she's tall, mutaba, then he's muta to marry her, loimipneshi ka'ura v'nafis na, shchoira v'nafis levana, ktsaris v'nafis aruka, not because she actually changed, not that she was ugly and became beautiful, or was dark and became light, etc. Elashan neder toast, but rather that's a neder based that the neder itself is toast.
She
thought, right, and it turns out that she was something else, right. So we learned yesterday that Ran had given two reasons why we don't say, so maybe Taka, so if she was ugly and became beautiful, what's the problem? Shouldn't we consider it like some of the cases that Rameir mentioned yesterday in the Mishnah of things that seem like nolad but really aren't? So one difference is because it's more normal
that she changed.
So that's the point. The Mishnah is saying that she didn't change because he was under a mistaken impression. Yeah. But why Taka is the Mishnah saying even if it was a correct impression, at the time she was ugly, later on she became beautiful, what's Taka the problem? The reason is that's nolad. Because it's not acceptable that a girl who's ugly is going to become beautiful. It's not acceptable that a girl who's short is going to become tall. Mashenkin, it's more acceptable, for example. No, that, and if it happens, then it's nolad. And we said you can't use nolad if that's the point of the other. The other possibility, which he brought from Reb Shmuel, but Reb Yehuda, Reb Chisdai, is that when he says, I won't marry so-and-so, the ugly girl, it wasn't meant because she's ugly, it was just, he's using it as an indicator. Who will I not marry? This particular girl who happens to be ugly. So it's not like, therefore, if she becomes beautiful, that doesn't automatically cancel the net. Only if it turns out that Shitaka wasn't ugly in the first place, well then his description was a wrong description. He didn't describe he wasn't describing the girl that he refuses to marry.
And she has plastic surgery.
That's what we're talking about. That's if she has plastic surgery. That's nafis not. So the Mishnah is saying over here that doesn't that would be nolad. But wait. It once happened that a person made a neder not to have hana from his brother's daughter. Most Mephoshim say that she was suggested to him as a shidduch, and he turned her down. Because she was ugly. They brought her to Rabbi Shmuel's house because, as the Gemara is going to explain, Rabbi Shmuel was famous for this kind of thing, that he took care of poor Jewish girls to make them to make them more marriageable. And they beautified her. Amalai Rabbi Shmuel. So now Rabbi Shmuel comes to the guy and tells him, Bni Mizuna Darta, did you make a neder not to marry this girl? She looks quite attractive. Amalai Lav. So no, I only made the neder because she was ugly. V'itira Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel was mocked at her. So the possibilities are either. First of all, this seems to contradict the previous part of the Mishnah, which is the first thing the Gemara is going to take up.
He
made her beautiful, and we're saying it works. So wait, the Gemara will deal with that. But Oysa Shah Bacha Rabbi Shmuel, when this happened, Rabbi Shmuel cried out of sympathy for what Jewish girls have to go through. But Omar, Gnois Yisrael Nois, saying Jewish girls really are beautiful. Elashani Yisman Achalton, but poverty makes them ugly. So there is that inner beauty over there. Yeah. In many places in Chassidus, by the way, it mentions the deeper idea behind it also. Ein Oni Ela Badas, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. So Bnei Yisrael, Jewish neshamas are really beautiful, but sometimes the person lacks das, and therefore they end up being superficially ugly. With Ani Yisrael das, and therefore they become superficially ugly with Haveris. Uchshemes Rabbi Shmuel, when Rabbi Shmuel died, Bnei Yisrael noises kina. So the Jewish women were lamenting, were singing or saying a lament, a mournful thing for him, that how much he had done for them. But Omer's Bnei Yisrael Rabbi Shmuel b'chena. They were saying Jewish girls cry over Rabbi Shmuel that he's gone, that all his life he worked so hard to make things better for us. No, we don't. It's not. No, this isn't a kina of Tisha B'Av. This is just in that time. And similarly to the pasuk by Shaul, when Shaul died, when Shaul was killed in battle, that David HaMelech says in his elegy, in his kina for Shaul and for Yonathan, he says, Jewish girl, cry for Shaul. Yeah, Al Shaul b'chena, cry for Shaul. I saw, by the way, a verse that the word the this is particular. Well, actually, we'll talk about it in the Gemara when we quote the pasuk in a little more fully. But yeah. I saw a verse, by the way, that the word b'chena stands for what Rabbi Shmuel was saying. B'nois kol Yisrael nois hein. And therefore, b'nois kol Yisrael nois hein. And therefore, it was particularly appropriate. So the Gemara asked, my solicitor, what is this, a story that comes to contradict what the Mishnah said before? First, the Mishnah said that if she becomes beautiful, then it doesn't work, because it's noilud. Now you're saying that Rabbi Shmuel beautified this girl, and then it works. The answer is Kusuri Master. The Mishnah is missing words. It means to say like this. Rabbi Shmuel, I mean, no. I feel a kohor of Anasis. No, no. Even if she was ugly and then she became beautiful, Shchor of Anasis Lavana, she was dark and then she became light, Ktsar of Anasis Aruka, then it still works. Now, why is that? So the Ran says because Rabbi Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Eliezer. We learned at the beginning of the parasha that Rabbi Eliezer holds you can use Nolud. So Rabbi Shmuel holds by that.
No.
Hold by that, which would mean that Allah is not necessarily like
that.
Well, that's the point of the Ram, that he holds like Rabbi Eliezer. The other opinion, the Rosh says that no, like this. The Vort is, Rabbi Shmuel figures like this. Given that he's saying, given that Rabbi Shmuel was saying, "Bnei Yisrael Noisen, Jewish women really have that inner beauty, but Anius Menavaltan, then he holds, if you take an ugly Jewish girl and turn her into a beautiful one, like as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, what Rabbi Shmuel did for her, it's not Noilud, it's not something new and unexpected. That beauty was there all along, it was just covered up by all the dirt and the poverty and the everything.
So therefore it's not Noilud.
And therefore, according to that, it would be that he doesn't have to hold it.
What's the prevailing opinion?
I mean, it's not a matter of prevailing opinion. The halacha is you can't use Noilud.
For him.
Yeah, the halacha is you can't use Noilud. So, yeah, I mean, okay. Okay, then we said, we said that a person made a neder not to have anah from his niece, they brought her to Rabbi Shmuel's house, and they beautified her, and then the guy was willing to marry her. In what way did they beautify her? Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Shente Teves Hayala, Hayala. She had a false tooth. Teves means a false tooth. The Ram says that one of her teeth had fallen out. The Rosh says that one of her teeth broke. Whatever it is, she had a false tooth, which looked bad. V'asala, Rabbi Shmuel, Shen Shaldav Mishalai. Rabbi Shmuel, out of his own pocket, paid for a gold tooth to replace that, uh, to replace that the missing tooth. So an interesting thing. Not implant. No, it was more like a gold crown. I'm more like a gold crown or something, I guess. I don't know. If it fell out, then okay, whatever. It's a, well, yeah, I don't know, an implant per se. Maybe like fell down with a bridge or something. I don't know.
It must have been a stump, and they put it on the stump.
Yeah. Okay, the Mephoshim point out over here an interesting thing. The Gemara mentions in Shabbos, in the halachas of what a person is allowed, what a woman is allowed, what kind of jewelry a woman is and isn't allowed to wear outside on Shabbos, where we said there's a few different criteria over there. One is you don't want her to wear something which she's going to be embarrassed of, and she may end up taking off because out of embarrassment and carrying, or something particularly expensive and fancy, where she may take it off and show it around to her friends and end up carrying it, or something loose that may fall off. Now, the Gemara mentions over there that actually that a gold tooth, that a gold tooth can be an issue on Shabbos, and there's two different reasons that the Mephoshim give over there. One is that a gold tooth sticks out; it's very obvious among the other teeth, unlike a silver tooth, which blends in more with the other teeth. Gold tends to stick out, therefore there's more concern that she may be embarrassed by it and take it out and carry it. Or the other thing, the other way of looking at it is the other way around. It's an expensive thing, and therefore she may take it out to show around to her friends. Now, our Gemara over here is saying that Rabbi Shmuel made her a gold tooth. That fits very well, according to Rashi's understanding over there, that the problem with a gold tooth on Shabbos is it's a fancy thing and you may carry it. Fine, he made her a fancy thing, a fancy gold tooth. But according to the other explanation over there, that the problem is that it's embarrassing, that on the contrary, a gold tooth looks bad among a bunch of white teeth, then why do you make her a gold one? Why do you make her a silver one? A couple of different possibilities. It could have been white gold. So actually, so Rabbi Yaakov Emden actually gives a couple of interesting possibilities. So he says, first of all, it may mean the packer wasn't gold. It was worth as much, the labor and everything, the dental work that went into it was worth as much as if it had been made out of gold. But really, yes, it was made out of silver. Well, I don't know, he doesn't mention white gold, but yeah, that could have been a possibility also. Another possibility, he says, maybe the rest of her teeth were yellowish. So therefore, in those times, they didn't have decent toothpaste. So therefore, yeah, gold tooth in that case might not show up so much as against the other ones.
So according to this analysis, porcelain teeth would be okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's because then, yeah.
They plan.
Well, I mean, nowadays, implants that they have, you can't take them out on Shabbos anyhow, so the whole thing is a non-issue. We're talking about something that's removable. Right. I mean, not removable, there's nothing to talk about. He shachar Rabbi Shmuel, when Rabbi Shmuel passed away, a person who was giving a hesped started out his hesped as follows, with the pasuk that we mentioned in the Mishnah, B'nos Yisrael al Rabbi Shmuel b'chena, Jewish daughters cry for Rabbi Shmuel, hamah bishchen chulo. Now the whole pasuk, again, in context, the original pasuk is talking about Shaul. The whole pasuk goes that the David is calling on them to wail and weep for the fact that Shaul died. Hamabishchen shani, that he clothed you in scarlet wool, like in fancy clothes. Who gave you adi zahav, who gave you golden ornaments?
Why should they cry for that?
They should cry for the fact that all this time Shaul has been providing for them. So Yalkut Shimoni says that actually what it is what happened when Shaul's soldiers were going away to war and leaving their wives at home for an extended period of time, Shaul would take care of providing those women with clothing because they don't have their husbands home to support them. So therefore, David is calling on all the Jewish women now that Shaul is dead, cry for the fact that we've lost that generosity, we've lost a great Baal Tzedakah.
But he went to war again.
Shaul was pursuing David. David never had anything against Shaul.
So,
yeah, so okay, but Shaul still, David still realized, okay, Shaul had his madness over there that he's pursuing David, but he still realized how much he'd accomplished for the Jewish people. Like, he's a great person, yeah. Anyway, so the same thing over here. So this person giving the hesped is calling on the Jewish women the same way. Look how much Rabbi Shmuel did for you throughout his life. You should cry over him. And Marshall explains actually the reason why he used the specific pasuk is because actually, so you have it mentioned two things that Shaul gave them. There's shani, which we said means scarlet wool, and adi zahar, which means golden ornaments. Shani is also meloshin, can also be understood. You can darshan it meloshin shen, a tooth. So therefore, it refers to this story over here, that he gave this girl a golden tooth, or a golden tooth cat, and therefore, yeah.
Why did he go in the first place?
That's a discussion for another time. I mean, basically, what it was is he was jealous of David because people are making a bigger deal out of David killing Goliath than they are out of Shaul's accomplishments. And basically, he was jealous of him. But then the pasuk mentions he had a ruach ra, an evil spirit from Hashem. Well, whatever, there's a lot to talk about. This isn't really the place for it. But yeah, I mean, Shaul had it in for David, but David still realized that Shaul is a great person. He's accomplishing a tremendous amount for the Jewish people. And therefore, when Shaul and then Yonasan were killed in battle over there, and as well as two of Shaul's other sons, then David composed a whole kino over there. It's in the first parak of Shmuel Beis. A whole kino running to about 10 psukim or so, bewailing the catastrophe, and then look what the Jewish people have lost by losing Shaul and Yonasan. Some examples now the Gemara is going to give of cases. So here we have, and the example in our Mishnah is that Rabbi Shmuel, by beautifying this girl, by getting her this gold tooth, was able to restore Shalom Bayis. He was able to, like this, this bacher was turning down the shidduch. Now that he improved her looks, then he's willing to go through with the shidduch. And now the Gemara continues with some other examples where Chachamim helped the people Shalom Bayis, which involve cases of Nedarim. There was a man who said to his wife, "Koinam she'iat nenesli, a koinam that you cannot have enough of me, ad she'tatimi tavshilech l'Rav Yehuda or l'Rav Shimon, until you give your cooked dish to taste to Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon." Apparently she was a bad cook, or at least he thought she was a bad cook. So he figured, maybe he figured he'll embarrass her publicly, whatever it is exactly, you know, if you can get these two chachamim to eat from your cooking, then fine, you can have enough of me, otherwise not.
He didn't think she was going to poison.
No, not a matter of poison. No, not a matter of poisoning, obviously. But then, no, it's just that he felt it didn't taste good. Well, Rabbi Yehuda told him. So Rabbi Yehuda, when they brought it to him, okay, he tasted some. Omar, he said, you know what? Maybe it's not the covered dip for me to lower myself like that and taste from her food just because of her husband is a hothead and made a netter like that. But still, he said, look, Kalvachomer, umalaf is shulam ben ish leishta and madach to make peace between husband and wife. Omar, the Torah shmish nichta b'tgursha yimocha alamayim. I'm ordering the suffix. The Torah says that the Eibishter's name, which is written b'tgursha, is wiped out, is erased in the soita water, and that's just for a suffix. So in my case, yes, by my eating this food, it'll help restore Shalom Bayis because she'll be able to have Hana from her husband, and eventually maybe we can convince him that his wife's cooking is not that bad. Look, Rabbi Yehuda was willing to eat from it. So yeah, I'm willing to set aside my cover. However, Rabbi Shimon did not taste from it. Omar, and he said a very sharp lashon. Yamusu kol bnei almana, let all the children of the almana die, v'al yodus Shimon mimkoyma, and that Shimon should not move from his place. V'oid, what does this mean? We'll talk about it in a second. V'oid, and furthermore, kiheshe delev tragli leminda, also that people don't get used to making the dodim. So first of all, so first of all, is he giving one reason or two? The void over here implies that it's two reasons. Number one, because of his covered, and number two, because you don't want people used to making casual medarim.
Wait.
Let's talk about that in a second. So first of all, Haggai Sabach takes out the word void. So according to Haggai Sabach, there's nothing of his own covered. It's all one long reason. I'm not going to give in because then it's going to induce people to just make nedarim carelessly like that. Like this, if he knows, if he realizes, you know what, the neder attack is going to be in effect because Rav Shimon refused to taste the food, that'll make him think twice before he makes such a neder again. What does he mean over here by saying Yamusu kol b'nei? So what does he mean Yamusu kol b'nei almana? A couple of possibilities. The Ran says it means he's cursing the husband that he deserves to die for doing such a thing. We learned actually in Shabbos, and we talked about earlier in Armasefta as well, for the avera of making careless nedarim and then not keeping them, a person's children may die, Rahman al-Flan. So he's cursing him that he himself should die. And then, so he'll have his children will be the sons of an almana. Fine, let them die as well, if that's what it takes in order for him to realize not to do such a thing again. That's the thing. In other words, that making a neder is a very serious thing. So therefore, Rav Shimon is saying, in other words, a person who makes a neder like that and is mevazel some of the chachamim to boot. Yes, he did. According to the Ran is saying, yes, he's saying that person deserves to die. The Marshal says Marshal says a little bit similar, that we find in various Gemaras that we find in various Gemaras that a person's wife and children may die, Rahman al-Tlan, because of making the Darim. So here, okay, the wife doesn't deserve to die, she didn't do anything wrong, but he and the children, yeah.
Because the wife or the children deserve to die, so he should be
fired. Basically, yeah. And there's the problem of Yulus the Rabbanim. There's the problem of not only casual neder. Again, according to the Yulus that we have over here, it's two reasons. Number one is Mavaza Tamar Chachamim. It's like, what is it? Tamar Chachamim are supposed to just, you say jump and they jump. It doesn't work that way. And number two, there's the matter of being casual with Nedarim. And actually, one of the Mefarshim on Ein Yaakov goes even further. When he says Yomusu Kol Bnei Amona, he actually means, In a few places in Tanakh, the Jewish people collectively are called an Amana, because in Golus we're like an Amana. We don't have the Eibishter with us. At the beginning of Eicha, Havisak Amana. So the Pshimon is going so far as to say, even if all the Chas v'Shalom, all the Jewish people would be in trouble, would be, I mean, he doesn't, Yomusu Kol Bnei Amona, he doesn't explicitly want to say the Jewish people, he wouldn't want to say such a terrible thing, but even so, the covet of Tamar Chachamim is paramount. You can't allow that to be compromised. Because Moshe Rabbeinu also, when it comes to his own personal covet is one thing, but when it comes to a Talmud Chacham covet as a Talmud Chacham, if that's compromised, then people are gonna treat Talmud Chachamim without respect, and then the whole Torah and all the Jewish life is gonna fall apart. So yes, he felt that's important. As a matter of fact, actually, somebody points out, one of the Mefarshim points out, Reb Shimon is going according to Reb Shimon holds according to the Shita that says that when the Pasuk says Es Hashem Alekechatira, the word Es comes to add Talmud Chachamim. So in that sense, Tamar Chachamim are on a certain level with the Eibishter as far as the respect you have to have for them. So just like he can't forgive the Eibishter's covered, then he felt he can't forgive on his own covered either. It could also be that Reb Shimon specifically, we find Reb Shimon more than any of the other Tanoim is Torosa Yom Nasa. He only learned Torah. We find way back in Brachas, we learned, for example, that he didn't even have to say Kriyashma, he didn't have to do most mitzvahs because he's so fatigued in learning. So his whole mitzvah is Torah. But unlike most of the other Tanoim, including Rabbi Huda, we're okay. There's I exist as a person, and then there's my limit of Torah. With Rabbi Shimon, the two things are fused together. Rabbi Shimon Reicha, yeah. Another case, Havuda Amal Dvesu, a man says to his wife, Koinim she'iyat nanasli, a koinim that you're not allowed to have hanah from me, ad she'tadruki boi b'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, unless you go and spit at Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So she came and spit on his clothing. She didn't have the chutzpah to go spit on his skin, but she spit on his clothing. And apparently Reb Shimon Gamliel was master her to have hanah from her husband on that basis. Because she fulfilled the neder. But that's the question. What do you mean? How does that work? The man obviously meant that his wife should be mezalzel in Reb Shimon Gamliel. How is it accomplished? By spitting on his clothing. That's not such a zilzel. So the chord of the neder hasn't been fulfilled. That's the answer. So he says, "Hey, don't worry. Spitting on Reb Shimon Gamliel's clothing, even not on his skin, is a big zilzul as well." Yeah.
Even three feet away.
Yeah. Okay. But so that's the point. So spitting on his clothing accomplished the trick. Yeah. By the way, there's another very famous story involving spitting. Also, the Gemara doesn't tell it over here, but it's in a Medrash someplace. That one time there was a woman stayed late by the mayor's drasha. The mayor was giving a drasha Friday night. It lasted longer than usual, and this woman came home very late. So her husband is very mad at her, and then makes a neder. You're not allowed to have enough of me unless you go and spit in your mayor's eye. So the mayor hears about it. Well, she doesn't have the great kite to go and do that. So the mayor hears about it. So he starts pretending and telling the Talmidim that he has an eye illness. And in those days, a known remedy for this kind of thing was to have somebody spit in your eye. So he calls, he has the Talmidim call on this woman, I hear you're expert at this kind of thing, at spitting and curing eyes, please spit in my eye. And then seven times, because that's how you're supposed to cure the illness. And after she does, he tells her, now you can go home and tell your husband, don't worry, the neder is mutter. I didn't just spit in the mayor's eye one time, I spit in his eye seven times.
So then we see the other way around.
So that's that. Again, Reb Shimon had his own svara. Everybody has their own svara. We had Reb Yehuda.
Reb Shimon was thinking about his covenant.
But again, it's not his covenant, it's the covenant of the Torah.
No.
But yeah. Okay, so it's all, each Tana looked at it a different way. Again, Reb Meir is not so much Torah Sarim Nasai as Reb Shimon. Okay, so different Tanoim, different opinions. Yeah. Okay. Another example. A man says to his wife, koinim shi'iyat nenesli, a koinim that you're not allowed to have enough of me, achatari mum yofa shibichlu b'shmo b'rav Yosi. Unless you show something nice about yourself to Rabbi Shmuel b'rav Yosi. She was, as the Gemara is going to go on. Well, so, okay, one second. So there's two possibilities. Most of the Mefarshim over here say that mum is really like the word m'um, meaning anything. Meaning, basically, this was a woman who was totally blemished head to toe, as the Gemara is going to describe in a second. So therefore, he says to her, yeah, so therefore he tells her, if you can find anything nice about yourself that you can show Rabbi Shmuel b'rav Yosi, then I'll be mocked in the nether. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it, the other way of looking at it is that the other way of looking at it is that no, it means mum yofa. It means in other words, you have a bunch of ugly mum. And fine, if you have one mum that's not so ugly, then fine. Okay. Anyway, Amalem. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi starts asking the people. Okay, let's see what we can do for this poor woman. Shemad roishana. Maybe her head is nicely shaped. Amalos galgal. They said no, her head is round. It doesn't have a normal shape of a head. Shema Sirena, does she have nice looking hair? Nope, don't remind me to Pishtan. It looks like bundles of flax, which means like what it is is the Rush says it means like it's all tangled together, kind of. Yeah, not no, the opposite of all over the place. Not like it's hanging loose every which way, but tangled. Yeah. Shema Nerna, does she have nice eyes? Nope, that's what they say, and they're round. Shema is now nice. Does she have nice ears? No, Kful is saying they're larger than normal. Kful is literally means doubled, so either it means they're twice the size of normal ears, or it means they were so large that they bent over. Shema Choytmana, does she have a nice nose? Nope, Bolum Hu. It's sealed shut, like I say, she has a swollen nose, so like her nostrils are closed up. Shemetiv says, "Yeah, nice and nice. How about nice lips? No, always saying they're thick. Shemetavara, no. Does she have a nice neck? No. Shakutu, her neck is short. It makes it look like she looks like she has no neck, basically. Shemakresa, no. Does she have a nice stomach, a nice body shape? No. Savahi, it's swollen. It's bloated. Yeah." Shemaragla, no, does she have maybe nice feet? No. Rechavis kishal avas, they're wide like a duck's. Or gooses, whatever. Okay, now what do we have left over here? Shema Shmona, maybe she has a nice name?
Yeah.
They tell her even her name's not nice. Lichluchas Shema. Her name is Lichluchas, and Lashon Lichluch, filth. Yeah. Amalahan, he tells them, Yop, a Koronos Lichluchas. In that case, she's very appropriately called Lichluchas. She Lichluchas for Mumim. She's filthy with Mumim. She's covered with, she's one big Mum head to toe. But yes, then her name, Lichluchas, suits her very nicely. So there you go. There's a nice thing about her.
Her name
is very appropriate. Her name suits her condition. The Ran brings another possibility. That the Ran brings two possibilities over here. One is if she can find something nice about herself, then she'll be Osabana. If she can't, then fine, she'll be Mutter. And Rabbi Shmuel says, you know what? Then even her name Lachluchis is packing not a nice name. Therefore, she's mutter. Or the other way of looking at it is that he says, if you can find something nice about yourself, and Rabbi Shmuel says in that case, your name is nice because it suits your condition. And he was mutter, and Bishalia, and he was mutter on that basis.
Extraordinary, because he had nothing, absolutely nothing, and he went to the extreme and still found something.
Another case involving Sholem Bayis. Hahupa Babel the Solik Arad Yisrael. There was a man from Babel who moved to Eretz Yisrael, Nasiv Yitzhak, and he married a woman over there. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss a few misunderstandings that they had between them. What was the basis of these misunderstandings? So there's three different there's at least three different explanations that the Mefarshim have. One is, as we'll see in the examples. One is that she was pashta shaita, she didn't know, she was stupid. One is that it was a matter of a language barrier. In Babel and in Eretz Yisrael, they both spoke Aramaic, but different dialects of Aramaic. So therefore, there were words that meant one thing in one place and meant a different thing someplace else. There was pressure. Not totally, not enough. As the Gemara is going to go on to say, they did understand, but she misunderstood him in certain crucial details. Or the third possibility, one of the first men, Aniakib, says, if he moved from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and she's from Eretz Yisrael, she may have been a very aristocratic, from a good family. So like she was trying to lure it over him, and therefore like pretending to not understand him. So those are the three possibilities. So, Amala Bashirili Che Talfi. So one time he tells her, cook for me two lentils, which he didn't mean literally two lentils. He meant two plates of lentils, two bowls, whatever it is, yeah. Bashirili Che Talfi, she literally cooked for him two lentils. So again, according to three possibilities, either she was stupid and she kind of didn't understand him, or it's a difference of dialect. Or it's a difference of dialect. In Baba, when he said two lentils, it meant two portions of lentils, and that's all it meant literally. Or that she wanted to demean him, right? Like to put him in his place, kind of. Rata Chalani got mad at her. Actually, Rashi, by the way, brings an interesting possibility over here. The simple girsa that we would understand over here is that talfi or talfachi really means lentils. Rashi explains that actually what it was is he. Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah. But another possibility, which is what Rashi says, is talfi can also mean hooves of an animal. You know, sometimes they cook up the hooves and they make pcha out of it. So he said, "Che talfi as in two hooves. I want a bowl of pcha." And she made for him two lentils. So she misunderstood what kind of food he was misunderstood or whatever what kind of food he was talking about. Talfi, no, talfi is talfa means a hoof, in Aramaic.
From
well, I don't know, probably in both, I don't know. But talfachi means lentils. So then she misunderstood him. Okay, Rota Chalani got mad at her. L'macha amala bashilili griva. The next day he tells her, you know what, I'm not going to make the same mistake again. He tells her, cook for me a griva. A griva is a large amount. Now he didn't, of whatever the food was. Bashilala griva. So she literally cooked for him a griva. She took him at she took him at face value. Fine, you want a griva as a saw, let's say. Fine, you want a saw of food. Fine, I'll cook you a saw of food. That's a huge amount. That's the point. Now here, by the way, here the Gemara doesn't say that he got mad at her. The difference is, then Yehuda said the first time when she only cooked the two lentils, he was mad because now he's hungry. The second time, okay, so she cooked extra. Fine, it'll go to waste. At least I can eat. Amala, another time he tells her, Zili Aisili Tre Butsini, go bring me two Butsini. And now Butsini is one of these things where it's possible to make a mistake, because the word Butsini has a double meaning. It means a kind of squash or pumpkin or something, but it also means a candle. That's actually another difference between the Aramaic of Bavel and of Eretz Yisrael. In Aramaic, in Babli Aramaic, Butsina means something like a cucumber or a melon or something from that family. And in Israel, and in Eretz Yisrael, it means a candle.
How do you say today a candle in
there? No, but that's Hebrew. We're talking Aramaic. So she went and brought him two candles. Again, either she was stupid and didn't understand him, or she was trying to lord it over him, or it was partially a misunderstanding because, you know, yeah. Amala, so he says to her, what do I need these candles for? Zubit tabri yasin aresha de bava. Go break them on the top of the bava. Now, bava, again, has a double meaning. It's a name of a person, bava ben bota, as the Gemara is going to say in a second. Bava also means the gate.
Gate of what?
With a gate of their courtyard, whatever. Have a yosef bava ben buta abava. Well, bava ben buta, the famous chacham, was one of the talmudim of Beit Shammai, was sitting by the gate, the kadoin dina, and he's judging the din Torah. As was v'tavros yosef nareshe, he said she went and broke the candles over her head. You told me to break them on the head of the bava. Well, Marsha points out, actually, you have bava is sitting over here at the bava. I'm sure that's what my husband meant. Amala Mahadain Davdis, Baba Mbutta says to her, what did you do that for? Amala Kaksibani Baili, she says, this is what my husband told me to do. Amala, so he says, you know what? Ata Sisritsain Bailich, you know what? You did what your husband wanted, and Eze Ish Shader Sharitsain Baila, Hamakam Yoitsimich, Shne Babim to Baba Mbutta. So the Eishta should give you two children like Baba Mbutta. In other words, then it's again an example where Murphon is covered for the sake of Shalom Bayis. So what actually, what's the vote over here? According to the, in particular, according to the explanation from Ian Yaakov that the verdict was that she's lording it over him, she's trying to like put her husband in his place by, you know what, you're going to give me instructions, I'm definitely going to deliberately misunderstand him. No, so that's the thing. According to that, Bava ben Buta is hinting to her, you know what, it's good to do Ritzayin Bayis. It's good to not, don't from now on, don't pretend to not understand him and then try to put him in his place. You do what he really wants. You do Ritzayin Bayis. And in the schools of that, you'll have children that are Tamar Chachamim like me.
And why this interpretation is didn't do it.
Because that's the point. Why else would he be saying that would be the point that according to that way of looking at it, that's the point. Why he has to tell her this vart after this return by left. Otherwise he could just tell her. Well, in other words, he's telling her the right thing to do. It's tact of right when you do the rafin of your husband, and for that you deserve a bracha. So she takes a lesson from that. That way in the future she'll make sure that she tactless to him and not instead try to put him in his place. But again, according to the other explanations, if it's that she partially didn't understand him, whether because of a language barrier or because of a mental barrier or whatever, then fine. Then it's just he's giving you a bracha. You know what? You thought you're doing the right thing. Actually, the Chassam Sofer says an interesting thing about it. He says,
so apparently from this, the kavana is also very important. Because she could have done the same thing, put the candles on top of his head.
Broke the candles on his head, yeah.
Broke the candle on his head, would have covered up the meeting.
Right. But that's the point. In other words,
still did what he wanted.
Yeah, okay, but that's the point. In other words, we're saying that you didn't do it in order to demean me. You did it in order, yeah. But actually, though, the Chassam Sofer brings an interesting thing. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you're not allowed to be mevazeh talmid chacham, even to do what your husband wants. So in order to do what your spouse wants, especially what we saw before about Rav Shimon, yeah. So how is Bava Ben Butta praising him for doing that? So he says like this, Bava Ben Butta may have figured that, you know what, in a certain sense, I taka deserve such a punishment. Why? We learn in the Gemara explains in Bava Basra that Bava Ben Butta is the one who gave Hurdus advice to rebuild, to renovate the Beis Mikdash. And that wasn't such a good thing to do. Hurdus is a Rasha. Why give him this chus? No, he was an Eved. He was considered an Eved Knani in Halacha. His ancestors were Adomim who had been forced to become Avodim and become quasi Jews. But he was a Rasha. Why should Bava Ben Butta give him this advice? And in fact, the Chassam Sofer goes on to say over there that it's because of that factor that in that time, beginning in the time of Hurdus, that we find all the great machlokas and Hill and Shammai develop, that all of a sudden the Torah is getting weak and not just Torah for state Torahs. Also, it had an effect on the Avodah because eventually the Beis Mikdash was destroyed. So therefore, Bava Ben Butta felt that, you know what, in a way, I took away two lights. Because of my giving advice to Hurdus, I caused two lights in the world, the light of Torah and the light of Avodah, to be diminished, maybe taka, therefore I deserve to have two candles broken over my head. And therefore, when she tells him, I did that only because my husband said, then he said, you know what, then you, ta- you he says, you know what? What taka, we said, no, but he says something else, the Chassam Sofer says. You know what caused the whole problem is because I was the only Talmid Chacham left. The Gemara explains there in Bava Basra that Hurdus had killed most of the Chachamim because he suspected them of plotting against him. He only left Bava Ben Butta alive and blinded him. So therefore, Bava Ben Butta is saying, you know what? I didn't have anybody else with me, therefore I made a mistake and gave Hurdus that advice. The Eivishter should help. You should have two children like me. When there are two children, two great Talmid Chachamim, they'll be able to consult with each other. Then such a mistake won't happen again. And that's why he gave her specifically that.
Did you read all this?
The Chassam Sofer says this. Hadron Allah Rabbi Yezir.